welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Saw a man called Matthew. Just say Matthew. Okay. Sitting where he collected the taxes, follow me, Jesus said to him. And Matthew obeyed, and what did he do? Followed him. Jesus then went to Matthew's house for dinner. I like that. Jesus then went to Matthew's dinner. He went to Matthew's house for dinner. Many other tax gatherers and those regarded as sinners, notice they're put together there, taxmen and sinners put together, came to eat with Jesus and his disciples. This scandalized the Pharisees, who asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such people as these, tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus overheard this and said to them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but those who are sick do. Go and learn what this scripture means when God says, 'I delight in mercy, not sacrifice.' You see, I've not come to save people who think they are righteous, who are right, but those who acknowledge they are sinners." We're talking this morning, and we're going to break this up with testimonies, reports of how God has changed people's lives. But I've entitled this morning, "Call to Follow." We've been called to follow Jesus. Not just that first time when we gave our lives to Christ, but every day we've been called to follow him, haven't we? And I just need about half a dozen people just to help me do a little demonstration, a little example. So six people who are good at acting would do. Six people you like, a little bit of amateur dramatics would be helpful this morning. So if you'd like doing a little bit of amateur dramatics, half a dozen people just to help me, please. Come on, Nigel, Suzanne. Okay, all the actors come out of the woodwork now, see? And Oliver, that's great. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, great, okay. Okay, now just watch this very carefully. I want the six of them to follow me this morning, okay? So I'm going to do just a few different things, okay? So the idea is you follow me, you follow, and you follow, so you follow the next person on with you. Okay, here we are. Are you ready? Okay, give him a clap. The reason I did that was because there's an important thing here that Jesus is calling us to follow him. And if we're a good example, I don't know how well that worked out just then. Sometimes it's a bit like Chinese whispers. The further you go back, the weaker it gets. But the idea is that we follow Jesus and we do what he does. What did he do? Healed the sick. Spoke truth, loved people, got down on his hands and knees, wasn't afraid to serve people in very practical ways. That was Jesus. And we've been called to follow him and do the same things that he does. And we're supposed to be great examples of to be like Jesus so that other people can then follow. Actually, they're following Christ, but they can follow Christ in us as well. Does that make sense? Yeah? So the message today is, yeah, we have a relationship with God. We want to follow him directly, but we also need to follow leadership and follow where we're going. Follow people that are following Jesus as well. It's all part of following Jesus, and that we end up doing the same things that he does. That's the point, that we end up being like Jesus. That's the whole point of it. And let's just turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. So it's Mark chapter 8, verse 34. We're talking about called to follow. Then Jesus addressed the crowd as well as the disciples, saying, "Anyone who wants to be a follower of mine will have to," what does it say there? "Deny himself and be prepared to take up his own cross of sacrifice for the gospel. Then and only then will he be able to follow me." So there's a progression here that Jesus is saying, if you want to be a follower of mine, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and that's the cross is doing God's will. Okay, the cross represents what God's will is for your life, your call, what God's called you to do, and you pick up that cross of sacrifice. It will involve sacrifice. Jesus didn't beat about the bush. He said it will cost you something. Take up the cross of sacrifice for the gospel. Then and only then will you be able to follow me. For anyone who is intent on saving his own life will actually lose it. But whoever is prepared to give his life wholeheartedly for me and for the gospel, he is the one who will enjoy salvation. Sounds good, doesn't it? Following Jesus. What's the use of accumulating riches and all that this world offers if in the process you lose your own soul, your own self-life? Sorry, your own soul, your own self. What can you possibly give in exchange for your soul? I tell you, this is an adulterous and sinful generation. If anyone is ashamed to bear witness about me and what I say in this generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes again in his Father's glory together with his angels. Simon, just come on. Just, can you pick the cross up? We had this in, as you know, in Queen Square yesterday. Just very, very helpful to have a visible reminder of what the cross represents. But Jesus is saying, if you really want to live a victorious life, then you have to understand that when Jesus died on the cross, you were included in his death. He included you in his death. We must understand this, that it wasn't just your sins that he died for. He died for you and me. And so I was included in his death on the cross. And Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. Why? Because your old self was crucified on that cross 2,000 years ago. Here's the key to victory. How to lose yourself is to find that you were crucified on that cross. Therefore, you have a new life. That's the life of Jesus Christ living in you. And so this exchange of your old life, giving your life to Christ, and then receiving his life into yours, his resurrection life, equals victory. And Jesus said, if you're going to come and follow me, you must, number one, deny yourself, that's deny you, what you want to do, and each day take up the cross, and the cross is God's will. So you're taking up the cross, you're acknowledging the truth that I was crucified on that cross with Jesus. My old self, my old life was crucified there 2,000 years ago, and my new life comes out of Jesus' resurrection. Okay, so I deny myself, I pick up the will of God, the cross, every day. So it's not about wearing a cross. Nothing wrong in wearing a cross. But you better make sure that the cross is wearing you. Make sure that the cross is wearing you. That you've got that cross is actually got you. And that you're denying yourself. Take up the will of God every day. Say, God, it's over to you. Holy Spirit, come and take control. It's all about your resurrection life. It's all about you, Lord. And the more you focus on this truth, you'll lose sight of yourself. I guarantee it. You'll begin to lose sight of you. And have a new focus about who he is. You won't be concerned about you or your problems any longer. You'll be focused upon the one who died for you. Because he's now your life. Sometimes we're trying to resurrect something old. We're trying to sort out the old life. The old life was crucified on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus has dealt with it for you. He has overcome temptation, addictions, problems, depression, bad thinking, whatever those things are, he crucified them for you because he included you in his death. Is this making sense? When we believe in Jesus Christ and ask him to come into our lives, his resurrection life and who he is, through the Holy Spirit, comes and he lives on the inside of us. So what do we have to do? We have to repent. We have to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you. Forgive me for the things I've done wrong. And the moment we do that and say, God, I'm going to give you my life. It's not worth anything without you. And you give your life to Christ because he took it on the cross for you. Then you'll start to reap the reward of what he actually did on that cross 2,000 years ago. And he says, right, now I can come into your life and I can set you free. And that resurrection life, those of you that are here this morning, perhaps haven't made that decision, I tell you, just look around you and see the people that are believers. And you'll see that they've got a different life on the inside of them. It's the life of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So we've been called to follow him. So every day we're to deny ourselves, take up the cross, take up the will of God, and follow him. And as we do that, what actually happens is that the resurrection life of God begins to flow out of us. Every time that we go out there, the resurrection of life flows. Every time you go into your workplace, if you'll allow it, the resurrection life of Jesus is flowing there. Every time you step out in God, even in the ordinary mundane things of the things that we have to do every day, God wants us to take up, deny ourselves, take up the cross, take up his will, and thank God that this is our victory. This is what Jesus did for us, and live in their resurrection life. Amen? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the visible reminder of what you did for us. Father, we pray, teach us how to follow after you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that living the Christian life is not about ourselves. It's all about you. It's all about who you are and what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, that you died to set us free. Thank you that the Bible says we've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer the old person that I was that lives, but Christ who lives in me. And Lord, this morning we want to just affirm afresh, Lord, I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. I'm going to every day take up the cross, take up your will, and follow hard after you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to ask a number of people to come up and do that this morning. So I'm going to ask Rachel, would you like to kick this off this morning? There's Rachel and a few others, so. Let's give Rachel a warm welcome, shall we?
Okay. I've known the Lord a long time, actually. I've known the Lord a really, really long time, probably since I was really small. But it was only really recently that I was able to say that I was saved. So I've been on a bit of a journey to get to the point that I am now, which I just praise God for, because I just really, really fully know that I'm free now from lots of things. So where to begin, really, without going too long this morning? Really, it began when I heard the Lord calling me when I was probably about 13 or 14. And I actually heard the Lord calling me audibly. I'd hear somebody call my name, and I didn't know who it was, and I just thought it was my imagination. And obviously, as time's gone on, I realised that was the Lord calling me, and he would speak to me in dreams and things like that. My family had turned away from the church at that time, and we lived in a place that I can only describe as hell, really. And I decided I would go back to church. I had some friends that went to church, and I went to church. But I went back to church, and I was really disillusioned. After a time, I became disillusioned because what I saw in the church was hypocrisy. I saw people trying to be nice, and I saw them making lots of jam and doing lots of good stuff. But a lot of people didn't really know the Jesus and the God that was calling me. So I was disillusioned, and I kind of went off my own little way, really. And I went through a stage in my teenage years of being very delinquent. I called them my delinquent years. I was very angry and had a lot of unforgiveness. I did a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have done. I drank a lot. I took drugs. Stuff that really wasn't me. I was really angry because I'd been abused as a child. I was neglected. My parents rejected me completely, and I'd lived without love, and I was angry. And so I did these things, and I thank God that he protected me, even though I didn't know him at that time so well. He must have protected me, because I could have ended up in all sorts of places. And then my nan died. My nan was the one person who had been that symbol of love to me. And I decided then that I was going to stop what I was doing. It woke me up, and I started seeking God again. And I did that by going into the Catholic Church then. I went with my boyfriend's dad, who's now my father-in-law. And I found a warm welcome there, and I found warmth and love. And I started to get to know about God. And I went through a period of catechism, which is learning about God and the Bible. And the first thing that God did for me was he enabled me to forgive my parents. And that was the first thing that set me free. And I just praise God for that now, that I can still have that forgiveness, because that has set me free. That set me free from depression. It set me free from all that anger. It set me free from just so much hell, really. It means that I can move forward, and I've forgiven them. And so that was that. That was really the first thing that he did. And then during the last few years, I've really travelled through the Catholic Church, and I've learnt a lot about Jesus, and I've come to know Jesus and have a personal relationship with him. But there was something missing, and it was only recently that I found out what was going on. And just back last year, my husband started coming away from the Catholic Church, and he'd actually had an amazing revelation of God, and he saw something wrong there, and so he started coming away, and he started coming here, actually, and I was happy for him to come here, but there was no way I was going to leave the Catholic Church. I'd made vows to be there, and I didn't see anything too wrong with it. I knew there was something wrong in my relationship with Jesus, but I couldn't work out what it was. And then the last part of last year, something started happening. There started seeming to be a battle. I started being called out of the church, and I couldn't work out why. I was almost being ousted from the church, and I couldn't work out what was going on, and I was very upset, and I was very confused. And I went through about 3 months of being really confused, really heavily oppressed, and I had a very long conversation with Pastor Paul, and I realised that I was actually being asked to come out of the Catholic Church, and I didn't know why, but I knew I had to be obedient to God, and that's what I did. And since I did that, I can see exactly why he called me out. Once he called me out, I was set free, and then I was baptised here, and I was cleansed of all of what went before, all of the religious spirit that was oppressing me within the church that I'd been in, the legalism, all of that had gone. I'd broken free. It was like chains had come off me, and now I could just see Jesus in the full light, the full glory of who he is. I could feel him in fullness, and I could honestly, fully give my life to him. And all I can say is that I know that I knew Jesus before that point, but now I'm free, and I'm free to love him with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my being. And I can't tell you how good that feels. And it's just, all I can do is praise God. So praise God.
Just hang on. I'm just going to ask, I felt God just say to, you know, just pray out. And it's like us all to stand. There may be something in what Rachel said this morning that is helpful to you this morning. So it's important. We don't just hear a testimony and then go on to another one. But just lay hold of what God is saying through her story this morning, because the power of God has set her free. So just lead a prayer. Just pray out for the people here today.
Oh Lord, I just praise you. I just worship you. You're just so worthy, Lord, of all our praise. You're worthy of my heart, Lord. I just ask you just to take my heart now, my full heart, my full being, Lord. And I just pray that anyone here, Lord, who's just bound as I was, Lord, that you would set them free this morning, just right now, Lord. Just come into their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would convict them as you convicted me, as you just showed me so strongly, Lord, what I needed to do. And I pray for those people today that are just held captive, Lord, that you would set them free. Oh, Lord, we don't always realize when we're held and we're bound. And I just pray that you would show us, Lord, show us where those chains are, show us where those binding ties are, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy
name. Let's give the Lord praise. Give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. We will have opportunity in the next part of the meeting shortly to pray for anyone who needs prayer for healing this morning. But we're going to have a couple more stories, faith reports, testimonies. So I'm going to ask Nick. Nick's going to come and say some things as well to us this morning. So.
For those of you that don't really know me, like, I mean, I was brought up in a Christian home, and you know, for me, it was just like it wasn't really relevant to my life. I just tried to push it to one side and stuff. And I think, like, as I got older, I just really felt There was no relevance in Christianity for me. There was, it didn't really mean anything to me. I was so concerned with just fulfilling myself, and it was, either in money, people, or, things. And I began to realise that everything that I chased was just futile. Every person I chased sort of like, just left. The money that I sort of made or gained through, various sort of crimes and other sort of activities, were spent. And, really, to be honest with you, the things that I gained just got old. And I was just, it was just going round and round in circles, just get high, get low. It was just, there was no sort of real purpose or anything in it. And I got to the stage where I actually went to prison for a few years, and I came out of prison, went straight into Bible college, studied there for a year. And I was really walking with God, and sort of I went off, got married, and just started sliding back into old habits and old patterns. And I think one of the biggest difficulties that I found, that I knew the truth, but I kind of just pushed it to the side. And, for that reason, I just knew that I wasn't really happy. I wasn't going anywhere. And, I just got to a stage where I was just like still, like I was smoking, sort of weed or just whatever I could get hold of, just try and like block out what I knew to be true. And, still sort of chasing people. I ended up in a lot of relationships that really, weren't of God. And anyway, I noticed that God had his hand on my life the whole way through, everything that happened. And, he just sort of literally reached into my life, and I just knew that he was just pulling me back to him. There was no sort of, second guessing about it. He was there. And it's only now that I look back on what happened to me, that I can actually see, how far he's actually brought me. And he's always been there for everyone, he's always been there. If you just look back now at what you've actually come through, he is there, and he always has been. And, but really, I'm just blown away really by his grace and forgiveness. I mean, I see it and I get it wrong every day, but this is the same God. When I was living my old life, when I was sinning a lot, I thought I was actually, I was quite proud. I was the man, I could do what I wanted. Nothing mattered. No one else mattered. But to be honest with you, God's actually like, I'm the man, God said, let there be light. And there was, out in the ocean when all the waves, they were getting gully and stuff. God just went, shh, it just calmed. And, really, he's the one that, it's all about him. And really, I think when we actually accept who we were and we look at him, it puts us back into perspective. And, I just give him all the glory for that. That's who he is. This is the same God that's, called us into being. And, he could take us out in a second if he wanted, but it's his grace and his mercy. And our concept of speed isn't his concept of speed, and he is there, and he's been there all the way through, for me. And it's just ridiculous, really, what he's, Ephesians 2 is, there's nothing in us at all that is, we're not worthy. There's nothing in us at all, but it's all by his grace and his mercy. And I think if he can do it for me, really, he can do it for anyone. It's all about his grace. So praise God for that.
One of the things that I know, Nick hasn't used the word repentance. It's not an old-fashioned word. It's in the Bible. It actually means to have a U-turn. It talks about a depth of actually something God does that turns you, and you then start asking for forgiveness. Isn't that right, mate?
Yeah.
And I know that's actually what happened. That's the reason why Nick has actually come back. Just say about that scripture God gave to you.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a scripture, really, that I would even know what it was, but I was asleep just a few weeks, really, after I sort of really got down on my face and just called out and repented and stuff, and I was asleep, but fast asleep. It was 3:23 in the morning, I remember, and God just woke me up, and he just told me to read Luke 9:23, I think, and I just, I didn't really think, I didn't know what it was, and I sort of turned over, just rolled on the light reluctantly, and opened up my Bible, and it just says, he who desires to follow me must first deny himself, pick up his cross daily and follow me. So, it's just, like I say, it wasn't the scripture that I would have known what it was, but I just knew straight away it's from God. He literally woke me up, gave me that scripture. So, it really stuck with me, and it's relevant to all of us, If you do desire to follow him, then you have got to first deny yourself, then pick up your cross, and it is a daily thing. If you don't do it daily, then you're you're destined to fail. But yeah, praise him.
Amen. Amen. Right, mate. I know as a result of what God is doing in Nick's life, that the knock-on effect then has been that Glenn, his close mate, got saved. Is that right, Glenn? He's following Jesus and reading the scriptures. He's really growing. And that is also having a ripple now effect on quite a lot of other fellas. So that just shows you, you do what we spoke about this morning. Deny yourself, put Jesus first, believe in him, and the effect is you get changed because you've repented, you've asked for forgiveness, you give your old life to God, and he gives you his in return. You know, he literally gives you his life, and that's what's working. That's the only way to live. That's the Christ life. That's the Christian life. So I'm going to ask Sophie, do you both want to come up? Let's give them a welcome, shall we? Kenny and Sophie. Now, I've not heard Sophie's story, but do you want to kick it off?
Okay. Say what happened. Before I become a Christian, I felt like I wasn't anyone. I felt really lost in the world, like part of the crowds. I just felt like no one at all. And then a friend of mine died about 5 years ago, and it got me thinking about God and life after death. And I met Kenny at the time, and he was like witnessing to me, talking to me about God. And he said to me just to pray to God and maybe ask God to reveal himself to me. So I prayed to God and I asked him for a sign, and I'm quite cynical, so I asked him to reveal it to me in 3 days' time. Yeah, sort of gave a time limit. But I was quite busy anyway, and I sort of forgot about it. And then on the third day, about 8 o'clock at night, we decided to go to like our local pub for dinner. And we got there, and it was really busy, and there was no tables or anything. And there was four of us there. So I'm really nervous. And when we got there, Kenny went to the bar, and we just waited for some seats. And as soon as we got the drinks, a table of four got up, so we went over there to sit down. And then we sat there, and next to the chairs there was a massive bookshelf. And my daughter Yasmin, she wanted to look at the books, so I said, okay. And I said, no more now. And she said, just one more, Mum. So I said, okay. And she pulled this book out, and out from the book, this like leaflet fell on my lap. And I looked down, and I read it, and it was a confirmation about giving your life to God. And it was actually from a church where my friend was being having his funeral the next day as well. So to me, that was my sign. Also, a few months later, I had to have an operation because I had precancerous cells. And for about 5 weeks, I was in like loads of pain, loads of horrible, gory things. And the night before church, the next day, I was in loads of pain, and I really was up all night, but I decided to go to church the next day. And I was sitting in church, and Kenny said to me, oh, see that lady over there? She, gives you healing prayers. I said, oh, no, I can't talk to her. So we just carried on through the service and through the singing. Then towards the end of the service, this lady came up to the front and said, I know someone here is experiencing severe abdominal pains. And I just felt like, oh, really overwhelmed, and I just didn't say anything. And then she came up to me and she said, I knew it was you. And she described my pain to me, exactly where it was and how it felt. And it really, like, was so overwhelming that someone could, like, feel what I was feeling, because it was a really emotional time. And she prayed for me, and she prayed that God would heal me. And when she prayed for me, I felt the Holy Spirit, like a glove, go over me throughout my whole body. And then the next morning after that, I woke up and I didn't have any pain or any of the other things that I was experiencing. And that was from God. And now I'm a Christian. I feel like I am someone. I feel like I am loved. And I look at things in a whole new light. I'm just amazed by everything that God has created. Everything's created. It's not just a freak of nature or anything.
Good morning. My testimony is relatively similar to Nick's. I gave my life when I was about 22. And my life basically. I mean, I confessed with my mouth and believed with my heart that Jesus was God's son and so on, and basically made a commitment. And I'm 33 now, so I would say for about 8 years after that, it was just a constant battle. I was struggling with drugs and alcohol. I was doing, like, coke, crack. It was a really, really, like, emotional time for me as well. And I think when I met Soph, I prayed for a specific person to come into my life and to basically to help me through things, because at that time I was really lonely and stuff. And obviously God blessed me with my wife now. Sorry, I'm really nervous. Basically I experienced a lot of supernatural things that only the Bible has the answer for. And, you know, if people think that just giving your life to God and confessing it is, that's all it takes, it's not. It, you know, for me, it's like a spiritual operation. For some people, they might just have a little, you know, like mold that needs to be dealt with. But other people maybe have, like, cancers. And, you know, for me, it was like my life was riddled with cancer spiritually. And that, it's a bigger operation. So, you know, for me, it was like it took a long time. And basically, yeah, it's, you know, God's really, really blessed me. And like Nick said, you know, I've sold out on God so many times, it's not even funny. And, you know, like exactly what Nick said, you know, God showed me so much grace. And I just thank God for that. And, but yeah, you know, like I said, the things that are written in the Bible, like with regards to the Holy Spirit, particular gifts that I once sort of half mocked and disbelieved. But when I experienced it for myself, it was then that I realised that God was true and that God gave me reason to believe that he was true. I mean, I didn't really understand the things that were written in the Bible with regards to the Holy Spirit, tongues and obviously healings, which Sophie experienced as well. So for me, it's like God's given me reason to believe that he is, through the Bible, the true living God. I mean, you know, as far as I know, Islam doesn't offer that. Buddhism, I know it's a way of life, it's a peaceful way of living, but if you live according to how God wants you to live, you know, if the world was full of Christians, it would be the most peaceful place in the world. So, but yeah, basically that's my testimony.
Sophie. Now, you know, it's a great privilege to have people like this, because you know that they lost their way, or they weren't even in the way at one point, but they came back to Jesus Christ through turning back to him. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I'm nervous, but it's right. You know, it's more important for me to know that if someone's going to be blessed by this. The last time I went on a binge, so to speak, I come home and I basically got on my hands and knees and sobbed like a baby. And I just called out to God. I mean, I've tried to cry for a long time, but not out of, you know, being proud.
Yeah.
It just, I couldn't release it. And this one time I cried out to God, and it wasn't nothing fancy. I just said, Lord, please help me. And from that time, God revealed the sins and the seedy lifestyle I was living. He revealed it to me and allowed me to see the sin for what it really was. Yeah. And basically, I was totally set free.
Right.
And, you know, I would give, if people were here struggling today with particular things that is personal to them, the only advice I can give you, if you don't want to get hit, don't get in the ring. You know, that's the only way you're going to win. So for me, I can't be sociable and go to a pub and, you know, have a lemonade and stuff like that, because I have a problem with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me to stay out of harm's way, I need to not go around with particular people.
Great. Amen. So the same story is true of all these people that have come up here, is that they turn away from their sin, lifestyle, living for self. They gave themselves to God, gave their old life back to God, or gave it to God, and realized that Jesus crucified it on the cross, and then they received his life. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
These two are disciples of Jesus, and God is going to powerfully use them to win a lot of people, just like what they've been through and what they've been in, and God will use them to win many, many young people, young couples as well, for Jesus. So get ready, church. because God's always started to add people to us, but this next season we're going to see a whole load of new disciples coming into the church. We already have them coming, and we just got to be ready so that we're ready for the new crop, the new harvest of young people and young couples, single people who are coming into God's kingdom. So it's great, isn't it? Yeah. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Now, we're going to have a couple more reports in a minute, but just before we do, we're going to just pray for anyone that has any sickness in their bodies this morning, because God's the healer. Jesus is the healer. And it says that by his wounds, the wounds that he suffered when he went to the cross, we are healed, or we have been healed. Actually, the Greek word, it's a past thing, it's already done. And the Holy Spirit, the God's Spirit, you don't see the Holy Spirit, but he's here. He's here this morning. And when we lay hands on people and pray, we don't pray for them, we just heal them in the name of Jesus. We're releasing God's healing will, his healing power. So if you need to be healed this morning, just put up your hand just where you are so that we will come to you. Just put up your hand. Okay. Anyone else? Just keep your hands up just so we know. Okay. Those who just look around for a minute. I'd like Sophie, I'd like you to pray for this lady on the end here, if you would. And we'll make it into pairs. So perhaps Sophie and another, perhaps Jackie Lampy, perhaps you both pray for the lady at the back. Okay, and hiya. We'll pray for you this morning, so we get a couple of people to pray for you. Who's in faith that this lady's going to be healed at the back? If you have faith, just go and pray for her. Just, we want two people. Yeah, and that's great. So just two, so twos and twos, just in pairs. So Sophie and Jackie, pray for the first lady here at the end. And then Anne and our friend from the Bible College, pray for, that's it. Who else is needing healing this morning? So who's going to pray for Christine? Kirsty, where's Kirsty? Would you come and pray for Christine this morning? Who else is going to pray for Christine? Marion, great. And who's going to pray for Liz? Lorna? And who else? We're going to release power. Siddy, you're going to pray for? We're going to release the power. God said to me this morning as I'm praying, I'm going to release the power of the Spirit to heal people this morning. So all we've got to do is just release it. That's all. It's here. God's done it. It's his healing gifts. It's his healing will. So we'll just pray together. Anyone else wanting prayer this morning? Kenny, was that you? So Matt, would you pray for Kenny? And who else is going to pray with Matt? Keith? Anyone else wanting prayer? Do you need prayer for healing? Yeah, okay. Jim, are you going to pray for Patrick? Who else is going to pray for Tony? Would you come and pray for Patrick, please? Anyone else specifically you want prayer for healing? Okay, so who's going to pray for Flower? Tamara? And someone else, just to pray. Yvonne? Okay. See, this is called teamwork. This is called teamwork. Anyone else needs prayer for healing this morning? Okay, the rest of us, let's all stand up and just look over these people that have been prayed for and just reach out your hands and just speak the name of Jesus. That's all you need to do. Just rebuke the sickness, rebuke the conditions in people's bodies this morning. Come against those things of sickness, of disease, of pain, long-standing things that have been there. And just declare the name of Jesus. Break the power of that thing. Break the powers of sickness this morning and pain in people's bodies. Command it to go in the name of Jesus. And then just release his healing power. It doesn't take long to do this, you know. If you have faith, just release it now. When you've rebuked that condition, command it to go. Then just say, be healed in Jesus' name. Just heal him in the name of Jesus. Just release the power. And then the power of the Holy Spirit will begin to flow into people this morning. Begin to touch them and heal them and make them whole. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, mate. Thanks. Come, let's just the rest of us just pray and thank God for his healing power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you today, Lord. Thank you for releasing your power today, Lord. Thank you for releasing your healing grace, Lord. Thank you for releasing the gifts of healings, Lord, in people's bodies today, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are working and moving, Lord, for the glory of your name, Jesus. We give you glory today, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the power that is in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Those that of you being prayed for, just receive. Just receive that power, that anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, those of you that have been prayed for, just begin to thank God for his healing power this morning. Just say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Just say, thank you, Lord, for healing me today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 That's it. That's it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone like to testify how they've been healed this morning? That's the next thing. Come on, just come forward. If you know that you've been healed, you know God has actually, you've experienced something just then, you know that the pain is gone, then some of you, it may be more of a faith walk, you've got to carry on for a while, but just thank God for his healing grace. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Those of you that have been prayed for this morning, you know, the faith, receiving with your faith is an important thing. That you receive by faith, because I know the power of God is here for healing. But you have to take it, you have to receive it, and then start walking.
I was in care, and when I arrived with my parents, I was quite sort of damaged already and quite angry, and they were ill-equipped to deal with me and the problems that I came with. And when I turned up, they said, I think when I turned up, they said that I looked like I'd been burnt. So anyway, abuse attracts abuse. And if you have been abused as a child, you find out pretty soon that it follows. So I think by the time I was 4, I'd also been sexually abused, and the gap between my parents and myself widened. So by the time I was a teenager, I was really quite angry, and I was on drugs, and I wasn't coming home at night, and by the time I was 15, I'd left school and I'd left home. And there was quite a long period of time where I didn't see my parents. So we didn't really get on. We didn't see eye to eye. So by the time I was 16, I'd had a baby. it was just a litany of, you know, it was a catalogue of things where I went from one bad situation to another. So I didn't have an education and I didn't have any way of making money and things were grim for years. And then I started striving. I went to university and I got a good job and, you know, I earned loads of money. I had a brilliant job, actually. I used to travel the world and do Formula One, but it just didn't make any difference. I still had a reputation as a bit of a psycho. I still do. so I'm trying to shake it off. I would just lose my temper for no reason whatsoever and just fly off the handle at people. I couldn't relate to people, couldn't be in the same room as people. Just thought, I don't know, there was this huge, great big shell around me that nobody could get through. And I pushed everybody away. Okay, so how did I come? Oh, I was going to say, like, the boys, that you haven't got, you know, you haven't got the monopoly on drink and drugs. It was enough to kill a small elephant, you know. So how did I come to Jesus? So I've been brought up in a Catholic family. So I knew God existed, but he was kind of a distant God that was far too busy to answer prayer. And this is funny. This I knew this old lady, and some of you also know her. I knew this old lady, and she was, when I knew her, she was the most miserable, bad-tempered, embittered person that I had ever come across in my life. And I'm sure that she was very much what I would have ended up in 20 years' time had I carried on the road that I was going down. And over the period of time that I knew her, I hadn't seen her for a long time because I'd been working in London, and I went round to her house one day and she had completely changed. You couldn't even recognise her. Her face had changed, her personality had changed, all the bitterness had gone. She was just completely different. And she told me it was Jesus. I thought it was more likely to be crack. I really didn't believe her. And I started to distance myself from her. Anyway, but she knew better. And some of you will remember that one night she called me a taxi. And she just phoned me up and she said, "There's a taxi outside. I want you to get in it." And I got in it and it took me to church. Of all the places. So I started doing the Alpha course, and my road to Jesus was quite slow initially. I was like, yeah, I kind of believe, but, you know, I'm all right. I prefer my version of God because I can put God in a box and use whichever bit I want. So, I think I'd had a really, really bad weekend, a really bad weekend on the drugs and a really bad weekend on the alcohol. And by Sunday night, I was at the end of myself. And I just thought, you know, I might have a try at what they said you need to do. And they said what you needed to do is you needed to make God the Lord of your life. I don't think I even knew what that meant back then. I think 10 years later, I'm only just coming to terms with what that might mean. And you had to say sorry for everything that you'd done. And you had to turn away from your past sins. And you had to turn away from Jesus. Turn away to Jesus. And that much I knew. So I went upstairs and I went to the bedroom. And I lay down on the floor and I was like, "Jesus, you know, I want to make you Lord of my life." Whatever that means. "Jesus, I'm sorry for everything that I've done." And nothing happened. I was like, "Oh." So I did it again just to make sure. And all of a sudden, it was like my life flashed before me. So they say that when people are dying, their life flashes before them. And my life flashed before me. I saw everything that I'd ever done. I saw that every person that had ever wronged me. I saw every person that I'd ever wronged. And I had the opportunity to say sorry for everything that I'd ever done and to forgive everybody who'd ever wronged me. It didn't take very long. It wasn't very long at all. But it all just sort of went through in an instant. So I went to bed and I got up in the morning and I didn't feel any different. I was expecting something more. I just felt the same, really. Until, it's a bit dramatic, this bit. The guy that I was living with, see, obviously he was, I don't know, I won't make judgments. So the guy that I was living with just didn't say anything to me, didn't say good morning to me or anything. He just picked me up by the throat and threw me against the wall. I was like, whoa. He said, I want you out of my house. I want you out of my house now. And the old me would have said, oh, I've got nowhere to go. I think I just better, you know, ride this one out and, you know, see what happens. And the new me went downstairs and sat down and went, oh, God, what should I do? And there was like just a really, really, really tiny tugging in my heart, which said that I really needed to just get my stuff and I needed to walk out. And that's what I did. And poor Kieran, you know, because Kieran, how old were you then? Kieran was 14 then, and we'd had quite a nice lifestyle, hadn't we? And we ended up in a bed and breakfast, which was, it was grim, wasn't it? We ended up in this bed and breakfast, which was so grim. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh, do you know, I'm going to kill myself. I really am going to kill myself. I can't cope with this. And then she's not here this morning, is she? And then June turned up with a Bible. I have to say, my thoughts initially were rude. She gave me a Bible. You've seen where I am. What's that going to do for me? Okay, she turned up with a Bible, and I said, thank you very much, but that wasn't what I was thinking. And she left. And she hadn't been out of that room more than a few minutes when the atmosphere in the room changed. And it just filled up with like a sense of love and a really heavy, heavy, heavy presence of God. And I just, my eyes started welling up with tears. And I just was going, oh God, you're here. Oh God, you're real. And over the next few days and the next few weeks, I really changed. People that had wronged me, I could look at them and I just think, you know, and I could phone up my mum and dad and talk to them and you know, have a civil conversation with them. And, you know, I was so closed off from everybody. I couldn't go anywhere and I couldn't do anything and I couldn't talk to anybody. And that all started to change. And it has taken me 10 years to hand my whole life over to God. Especially if you've gone through a traumatic childhood, the only person that you have to trust in yourself is yourself. And it does take that little bit more to just let go. But I have to say, it's been worth it. We were all out the other day. We were all out the other day and I was driving too fast again. Okay. I was hurtling up this straight. And there's a bit of a crossroads on it. And this woman pulled out across us in the car. This is the second time God saved me in the car. And we're going far too far to stop. And the car just stopped. And that was the first miracle. The second miracle was, this lot know me. The second miracle was I got out of the car and I went over to her. And I didn't hit her. So I just went, oh, don't worry about it. So that was, and I have really, really changed. My temper it's not perfect, but it's much better than it used to be. I don't need to do drugs now. I haven't done since the night that I got saved. That's not to say I haven't, you know, dabbled, but I haven't needed to do them, which is something different. And I have favour from God. This is just like an example of the kind of favour that you get from God. I turned up for an interview for a course that I was going to be a teacher. And when I turned up, I was only going for the course. That was all I was doing. I was going to do my teacher training, and I got interviewed to do my teacher training. And by the time I left there, they'd also offered me a job. And my life's been like that since. Every bit that you give to God, He can do something infinitely better than what you were doing with it in the first place. So there we go. That's it.
It's great, isn't it? Wonderful. It's wonderful what God's doing in people's lives. And when we give our lives to Jesus, He gives us His life. That's the deal. He crucified the old life to give us the new life. But we have to, and it does, there's a whole outworking of that. And we've followed Kirsty over a number of years now in prayer, and actually followed her as well. And it's been great just to see what God's, and God's doing the same thing because of a depth of repentance now. Isn't that right, Kirsty? Because of the depth of what God's done in our own heart now, there's a whole ripple effect that God is actually touching a whole load of people. I mean, I had a call last week. It was a son, Kieran, gave his life to Jesus last Sunday. And his girlfriend, Lisa, is you here? Lisa gave her life to Jesus last Sunday. Even it was very real as we knelt down on that carpet and just asked the Lord's for forgiveness and hand our lives, or they handed their lives over to Him for the first time. It's awesome what Jesus is doing. Amen? Amen. Let's just turn to our Bibles, and we're going to... Nigel, can you just come up and play there? Not going to speak for very long. I just want to say a few words, because we're just going to follow this whole thing through of that we've been called to follow Jesus. He's a person. He is the Lord. And when you have this grand statement, make Jesus the Lord of your life, it literally means you make Him the one that's going to take charge of everything. You let Him come and take control. So, you know, it's no longer you being in control, because most of us want to be in control. That's the problem, that we keep trying to get control back over our lives. But actually, God is saying, no, I want you to let me come and take control of your life. And he doesn't treat us like puppets. He loves us. It's the control of love. And if we'll let Him, he will do the very best things for us. And you're hearing stories, true stories this morning of what God has done, how He's changed people's lives. And there are thousands, millions of people all over this face of this earth who have experienced the same power of Jesus in them changing their lives. And you just can you just play? Matthew 22. Let's look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And let's read at verse 1. And this is directly, God's going to speak to you this morning out of this. So listen out for what He's saying, because He loves us and He wants us to follow Him. Jesus answered, verse 1, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Listen to this. They were not willing to come. Yes, in the town square, we spoke to a lot of people in the course of the day, and we do every week. We talk to a lot of people, I'm sure you do too, in the workplace and so on, about Jesus. And some of them are not willing to come yet. And this is the case in the story here, that they were not willing to come to the marriage for his son. And again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted calf are killed and all things are ready, come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. In other words, they were saying, too busy. I've got too much on. I'm a very busy man, a very busy woman. There's too much going on in my life. I haven't got time for that. And they basically were caught up with themselves. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. And Jesus actually used this parable, this story, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Or was it the other way around? And in this story, he was actually talking about the Jews, first of all, that the Jews that he'd come to rejected him largely. So he said he was furious, he was angry and saddened that he's, the people he came to save reject him. But then he took it out to the whole world, the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, because Jesus came for the Jews first and then for the rest of us. And it says in verse 8, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. In other words, they weren't willing to come. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find people, invite them to the wedding. So this is our job. This is your job. This is your task. This is my task, is to tell other people about Jesus, if we've met him ourselves, and invite them to come to him. And it says, go into the highways and the byways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. See, we find people that are, in quotes, good people, nice people. They're okay people. Perhaps they haven't done drugs, and they haven't done this and that and the other. And they're quite reasonable people, but they're the same as the drug addicts. So they're the same as the people that are in the depths of the pit. They're exactly the same, because both types of people have sin inside of them, and they're separated from God. So God regards us all the same. We're all sinners. We're all without God. We've all missed the mark, which is what sin means. And there's one cross that Jesus Christ was crucified on for everybody, no matter who we are, whether we come under the category of good or quite good or bad. In God's eyes, it's all sin. And Jesus died for us to set us free there. So it says those servants went out into the highways, gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. So they all started to come in. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So we don't know how he got in there, but he got in there. But he wasn't an invited guest. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? You have to have a wedding garment. And the wedding garment represents the free gift of Jesus' forgiveness, the free gift of his life. It's talked about as being a garment of being made right with God. It's like being clothed, but being actually not outside, but inside. And this person was unclothed. In fact, he didn't have this wedding garment. And he said, what are you doing here? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? But it we'll come to that. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And this in this hall today, God is calling, I can tell you, God is calling every single person here today. Many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? It means that many people are not willing to do what we've heard from Kirsty, what we've heard from others this morning. Many people are called. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. That means he wants everyone to know him, doesn't it? Everyone is invited to the wedding feast. God bless you. See you. Bye. God really wants to minister to each one of us here today and help us to see the importance that we've all been called. Many of you here know today that you've been called, but you've been called to follow Jesus every single day and take up that cross, take up his will daily. Deny yourself, take up his will, and follow hard after him actively. That's what God's looking for. He's not looking for passive backseat passengers. He's looking for people who will drive and who will be led by God. So people who've got their foot on the accelerator, people who are actually motivated by love, motivated by God's love, and are actually not just resting back and letting the others do the work, but they're moving forward themselves in their relationship with God. Many are called, but few are chosen. God chooses those who actually respond and say, yeah, that's the life I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to live for the cause of your kingdom. I'm going to live for the cause of you for the rest of my life. And whatever it takes, whatever it costs, I'll do it for you. Because you've done it. Look what you've done for me. I can't match that. I can't match what you've done for me on the cross for your sacrifice. But I'm going to follow you. I'm going to put you first. And Holy Spirit, I want you to come and take control of my life. Is God speaking to you today? I hope he is. I hope you're hearing what he's saying to you, because he's speaking to all of us, but he's saying you've got to up the whole thing of what it means to follow Christ. You've got to really put him first and not just think about him being first. You've got to make him first by living this life of love for others. Living this life for loving him, putting him first, and then living for others out of that love. And what happens is that the resurrection life of Christ will literally flow through you. So you'll become Jesus to many people. And this church is going to double over this next year. Why, how's that going to happen? Well, it happened because his love is being outpoured into our lives. And we're beginning to touch people's lives that perhaps we haven't touched before in the way that he's actually now bringing them to him. He wants to use you to win others to him. Just by being who you are in Jesus and letting Jesus who's living in you come out. Does this make sense? So Jesus says, many are called, but few are chosen. God chooses those who actually say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Does that make sense? God would that everyone should be saved. Everyone should be chosen. But he only chooses those who say, yeah, I'm going to live this life, Lord. So if we reject that, we're actually losing out on a whole load of stuff that God wants to do for us. We've been invited by Jesus this morning just to make that fresh, yes, Lord, for other people. I'm going to stand up this morning for other people to see other people won and brought into your kingdom. And whatever it takes and whatever it costs, I don't know what that will mean for me personally, but Lord, I want to do your will. I'd like you, if that's what you want to say to Jesus this morning, I want you to stand up on your feet in just a couple of minutes. And we're just going to just worship the Lord just for a couple of minutes, then we'll close the meeting. But we're saying to Jesus this morning, yes, Lord, I want to make you first. Yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I want to be one who follows hard after you. And I'm going to put this work of applying the cross of Jesus into my life. In other words, deny myself every day, every moment, every day. I'm going to live for you, Jesus, and live for others. And let you really be the master, really be the one in control. And I tell you, it's the most exciting, the most adventurous, the most wonderful, joy-filled life you could ever live. That's what Jesus has for us. He said, you follow me and you're going to get full of joy. It will cost you a lot, but the reward for you in this life and the one to come far outweighs any hardships, any sacrifice that we might have to make. Because I don't want to lose the presence of Jesus. And that's what this is all about. It's having the presence of his love and his life and power. Amen. Amen. So if you're saying to Jesus more, yes, Lord, that's me. Count me in for this. Just stand to your feet right now. Just stand up. If you're saying, yes, Lord, this is for me. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to take charge. I'm going to deny myself daily and follow after you. And you know, the Holy Spirit will come and he will enable you to do that. Even if you don't know where he's going to take you, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit himself will pick you up. That's what we had right at the beginning of the meeting. He wants to lift us up.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.